The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Everybody, this is Charlie Saladino, senior correspondent from It Came From The Radio, right here on WGBB, big Long Island station that we love. Anyway, I am here filling in temporarily for the absent Mark Torres, who is desperately rushing to the studio as we speak. I am on assignment in Ice Station Zebra. And if anybody is having trouble listening to the show, just go to
I was going to say,
Hassan is with you. Thank you so much. You are the best, Brian. I don't care. I don't care what Mark says about you. But anyway, if anybody's having trouble listening to the show, just go to www.am1240wgbb.com. That's WGBB, where good broadcasting begins.
Right. And audio streaming.
Yes. And if you want to call us in, or you want to call us in, what the hell was that about? If you want to call the station and ask us any questions at all, feel free at 1-631-888-8811. Having said that, all right, I'm done for the day. Take it easy, everybody. Anyway, is Hassan with me?
Yes, Hassan is with
hey.
You.
Hey! So, let's get started with, obviously, the big news of the week. Leonard Nimoy. And very, very sad. A tremendous loss for the sci-fi
community. Yeah.
And I just felt very bad about it. I was thinking of Star Trek back in the day when you know, I was watching it when it first came out, and when I thought of Dr. Spock, Mr. Spock, I just thought that's the way he was. You know, no one ever seen a picture of Leonard Nimoy without the without the makeup for
without
a while.
Without his ears.
Yeah, without the ears, exactly. And it wasn't until the show got popular, because the show wasn't popular right away, but it wasn't until the show got popular that they actually published pictures of Leonard Nimoy, you know, the normal Leonard Nimoy, and oh my God, that's the way he looks. And there was like, for a little bit, there was a mystery about it, and unfortunately, that stood the test of time, Star Trek, but Leonard Nimoy was a very, very talented gentleman, and the acting, he tried his hand in singing, he directed, as we know, and also for the younger people, right after Star Trek, he went right to Mission Impossible. He played this gentleman by the name of Paris, and he was the master of disguise, and it was like a favorite Mission Impossible for me when he joined the crew. But
I do remember that.
Yeah, it's just a sad loss. And he was 83, I believe, and it was, Hassan, what was it? It was complications from pneumonia?
I believe so. It was complications. He was rushed to the hospital with some kind of chest pain. Prior to that, a couple of months prior to that, just about after his last appearance in the latest Star Trek movie, they had diagnosed him with some kind of lung cancer, with some kind of complication, lung disease, based off of his, you know, I don't know, 40 years of smoking or something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then, you know, he made a couple of statements about it, and it, you know, kind of came, and then it faded into the
into the
background, the noise chatter of news.
Right.
And you know, just recently, just this week, they announced that he had been rushed to the hospital, and you know, everybody's hoping for the best. And you know, again, the news kind of, you know, the chatter kind of fades out, and you know, people go about their business, and then suddenly the bomb drops on us that he didn't, you know, he didn't pull through, he didn't recover from whatever he was suffering from. So, I mean, I was at work when I heard, just like probably everybody else, and I mean, it really did bother me. You know, it just, it's like, you know, a friend of mine said, and I'll stand by this. He said, it was like, it's like losing your favorite uncle, you know, something like that. And so I felt a personal, you know, kind of hit to it. But I was astonished at the people at my job. You know, it really, really affected a lot of people. It really bothered just about everyone there. I mean, one of my coworkers was walking up and down the rows. We have an open bullpen kind of work area, and he was just announcing it. He was telling people one at a time, you know, Leonard Nimoy just died. You know, so it's no small thing. It really is a small thing, and like you said, it's a huge blow to the science fiction community, because I think Leonard Nimoy almost personifies modern science fiction. You know, like from like, let's say, 1965 to today, that era of science fiction. He pretty much was an icon of that. It's huge. It's gigantic. It's every bit as big as the Robin Williams thing last year.
Every bit as
gigantic a blow. So it's not cool. It's not great, and it is really sad. He was 83. So I mean, we take solace that he had a huge life. You know, he had a long life, and that he had he was, you know, he kind of stayed with his own message for the duration of his life. I'm listening.
I was so taken by it, because like you said, it this is what it's about. It's like we know him because he comes into our house through Star Trek, through other things. It's like anybody famous that you get to, that you say, hey, I really like this guy. You're really liking the person for what he does, sort of like you like a member of your family.
Right.
You know? And it's hard to know that you won't see them around, you won't hear them, and possibly you'll never get to meet them again. It's just sad that they're gone from your daily lives. And and it's the first thing I thought of when I was trying to think of something to write on our Facebook about him, because I found out pretty early, and I just put I took a picture that was sent to me of him. I wanted to put a picture of the way he was, not Spock or anything, because I'm sure 5 million people did.
I got
a great picture of him, like, waving, probably to the crowds, and I thought it was pretty nice, and I wanted to write something, and I was thinking of all his accomplishments, and I was trying to write a big paragraph about he did this, did this, and all I could think of was he lived long then prospered, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And farewell Spock and stuff like that. And it just, it's like a member of the family. It was like that when John Lennon was shot. It was like that when George Harrison, because you guys know what a Beatle fan I am, George Harrison passed away from
right.
cancer. It was like you lose a member of your family because they gave you some sort of joy in their lives and your lives, you
right.
know?
And they gave you comfort, you know?
Yeah.
And you'll never get that again, that kind of, you know, what you got from them. So, yeah, it's gigantic. I don't remember a time when I didn't know about Star Trek, you know? I mean,
yeah.
Same. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, but I'm one of the rare anomalies where I'm able to like both Star Trek and Star Wars at the same time.
Right.
So, you know, I don't remember a time when I didn't know Spock, you know? You almost, to the point where you almost take it for granted, you know? I mean, the last few times I've seen Leonard Nimoy, he didn't look great. So you kind of brace yourself for it. I mean, if you're like me, you're one of those people who kind of, all right, that doesn't look, you know, that's not too pleasant. But then when it happens, it's like there's no way you can prepare for it. You know, there's no
right.
way you're ready for something like that. When it does happen, it's just monumental. And I don't necessarily think I'm not sad. That's not true. I'm not grieving. I'm very sad that he's no longer alive, but he's left such a tremendous amount of himself behind that, you know, there's nothing I can say about it. It's just, again, I think that's what I put on Facebook. I said, I really don't have anything to say about
yeah.
that would be adequate.
Excuse me, gentlemen, if I could jump in real quick. This will be maybe the rarest time that I can jump in and say, Mark just gingerly walked into the studio.
I was waiting for the right time to jump in. The cause of death was chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, in case you were wondering.
Wow.
I just want to say quickly, I remember... A lot of people, you know, you're going through all the stuff on the internet, they're always talking about all the other stuff he did, but nobody mentioned him being on Columbo, where he was the one that almost got away. Out of every other Columbo, he was the one that almost got away.
No kidding. I didn't even know he was on Columbo.
Yeah, it was like one of the best ones, because, you know, for people who don't know, Columbo, they used to show you how he did it, and the thing was, how was he going to get caught? That was the whole thing, you know, throughout the episode, Columbo was... You know, trying a mind game with the
right.
adversary.
There's a certain name for that kind of motif of storytelling where the audience is in on the crime,
right?
And the audience is actually ahead of the detective, but I don't remember what it is. So sorry.
Well, thanks for bringing it up then.
But I know there's a type. I'm gonna look the type up later. We can actually discuss it. But
all I knew on Columbo is the guys used to just be so eloquent and so sure of themselves, and it was this little guy messed up, one bad eye and a dirty cigar hanging out of his mouth, and right after they finished their very eloquent justifications of, he would go, that's very fine. Excuse me, sir. The minute he said, excuse me, sir,
yeah.
he knew they were dead in the water.
But in
you would crush them.
But in this one episode, he actually almost lost it. Like, it was the end of the thing, and he got away. Like, it was amazing. Like, wow, Columbo didn't solve this mystery. It was an actual one of those twist endings that you didn't expect from this type of show. And then, of course, you know, he got him at the very end, but they kind of led you to believe that Leonard Nimoy was going to walk away with this one. It was really good.
Wow.
And you see the way he was in so many of these things, and especially like post-Star Trek, because he was so very popular, and he was so very eloquent And as you saw in his portrayal of Paris in Mission Impossible, that he was in a lot of little guest spots on famous shows. And none to me as amusing as the latest on the Big Bang Theory, when they just featured his voice as the toy. Which was, I don't know if you guys seen that episode.
No,
of the
I
Big
didn't
Bang
see
Theory.
It.
Oh my God, it was hysterical. It was it was sort of Sheldon's conscience talking to him through the Spock toy, and it was Leonard Nimoy.
So so speaking of Leonard Nimoy, this is going to be the weirdest transaction segue ever.
How did he do it?
For those of you who may not know, he was in as the voice of Galvatron in the last Transformers movie.
The most recent one.
No, he was Sentinel Prime in the third Transformers movie. He was Sentinel Prime. He played the voice of Sentinel Prime, and he was Galvatron in the original Transformers animated movie.
Right. Okay.
So with that in mind, speaking of Transformers, the Oscars, if people remember, were over and done with last week. But of course, the footnote that we care about over here is that the Razzies were given out. So I want to mention who the worst picture. Okay, this is the winner of the Worst Picture, Worst Actor, Worst Screenplay, Worst Screen Combo was for Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas, a film which promised to put put Christ back in Christmas.
What?
That was the tagline of the movie.
This was recently?
This was last, it came out in December, obviously, for Christmas time, and it was the Worst Picture, Actor, Screenplay, and On-Screen Combo.
Well done, Kurt.
But as I was mentioning Transformers, because, you know, Hassan's best friend, Michael Bay, he won for Worst Director in Transformers Age of Extinction.
Excellent.
Hey,
and he deserved it.
you just made Hassan's day.
He did.
Yay!
Snowpocalypse outside.
Right. This is a tribute to your intelligence and skill as seeing who sucks. You know,
also of note, hot Megan Fox won for Worst Supporting Actress.
Her name is just Megan Fox.
She had it legally changed. Hot Megan Fox. Worst Supporting Actress for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Which wasn't a terrible film.
That's what I said. Kelsey Grammer won for Worst Supporting Actor in two films, Transformers and Expendables 3.
Wow.
And rounding out the awards was Annie for Worst Remake, Sequel, or Ripoff.
Wow.
Wow. All right.
So
it didn't stop any of those movies from making any money, though. That's the problem.
Well, I don't think Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas made any money.
No, that's true. But the Annie movie made money.
It did. It did indeed.
And, you know, the Transformers movie made a bag of money. So
it did. It did indeed.
I mean, a literal garbage bag full of money.
Yes.
Came from the Transformers. I don't understand it. Because everybody complains about the Transformers, and it hasn't diminished one bit at the box office since the first one. So, you know, shows what we know. Shows what we critic, you know, shows what control we have over the reality of the situation. Wow.
Well, speaking of big bags of money, let's see. Okay, we'll go with this one. Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies, just surpassed the $900 million mark of worldwide haul, and it stands at $915.9 million, making it the 31st highest grossing movie of all time worldwide. To put things into perspective, number 30 would be Shrek 2 at $919.8 million, and of course, Avatar tops off the worldwide box office list at $2.7 billion.
I'd like to say that congratulations to Peter Jackson, because I know a lot of people are disliking the Hobbit movies and complaining that they're the equivalent of the Star Wars sequels to the Lord of the Rings franchise, and I don't agree with that at all. I couldn't disagree more vehemently. The movies have their pacing issues. But they're actually really solid movies that I thoroughly enjoy, and I think Peter Jackson deserves credit. And what better credit than up, you know, like we just said, a dump truck full of money.
Yeah.
And that's going to be his legacy. So, you know, I couldn't be more happy about that news. Thank you very much, Mark. Two items he gave me.
Hassan is happy.
Yes, I'm thrilled. Thank you very much.
You know, it's nice when the movie makes money because it's great. You know, that's always a plus for me. I get very aggravated when the movie makes money and it's a piece of caca.
on the flip side there, Charlie, the $175 million movie Jupiter Ascending, if you remember that movie, came out a couple of weeks ago, pulled in a quote unquote dismal $18 million on its opening weekend at the box office. And then the $95 million movie The Seventh Son, starring Jeff Bridges, came out the same week, pulled in a disappointing $6.6 million in its debut.
I asked someone at my job if that movie had even come out yet, because I was I'm talking about Seventh Son, and nobody even knew it had come out. And you're saying it's been out since Jupiter Ascending has been out.
They both came out at the same time, and this marks the first time in a long, long time that two big budget movies tanked on its opening weekend. So right there, sign of the times.
Maybe a good sign. Who knows? Although I really have nothing against Jupiter Ascending, because I don't know anything about it. I've heard it was a mess. Right. I've heard everything from hearsay. Everything I know about it, but I don't know. Seventh Son didn't look too good. Seventh Son looked like someone slapped it together really quick.
Jupiter Ascending. I mean, from what I saw from the previews, I'm thinking, what great artwork, what art direction, with the
visuals.
I just love the visuals in this movie. I don't know what the movie is about. I haven't seen it, but I know a little bit of what it, but when I saw the visuals, I said, wow, I would really like to go see this because of the way the movie looks.
Because it looks beautiful.
The movie, I can say, was all right. It's not as bad as everybody's saying. It looked visually, you know, amazing, but that's kind of expected when you have a movie of this caliber. Yeah.
It's like John Carter territory, where it's like,
well, this is really not that bad.
A little under John Carter, but it was, I saw it in
under John Carter.
I like John Carter. I really did. I was like, this is an enjoyable movie, and I was all with it, and everybody was happy.
Yeah,
and this
one
was a little, for my entertainment value, was a little under John Carter because I didn't feel that there was any type of chemistry between the two leads. So that kind of takes away from something when the two leads have no chemistry at all.
Yeah.
Between Channing Tatum and Hot Mila Kunis, I just didn't see it.
I think her name is Mila Kunis.
She had it legally changed.
There's a lot of that going around, apparently.
It's the thing. That's what they do now.
So if you're hot, you have to change your name to Hot, or if you change your name to Hot, you become Hot.
No.
Which even works?
And also, is there an age limit? Because when she's 89, will she still be the hot Megan Fox?
Will she be hot?
It's a paperwork issue that you have to fill out the forms for, and it's only good for 10 years, and then you have to reapply every 10 years.
Sometimes you could not qualify.
Exactly.
Your third or fourth time of trying to re-up. Right?
Yes.
Paris Hilton must be pissed off because she wanted to copyright.
That's hot. Yes.
Yeah. Hot. Can you imagine that?
I remember that.
If they copyrighted that, I would have just went over and slapped her for the hell of it. Think of that. Not that I am not for hitting women. But.
Charlie Saladino, do not necessarily reflect the views of
on
the radio.
But it might.
But maybe. I said not necessarily.
But they never put that part at the end, but it might. They should add that after everyone, every disclaimer. But it could be.
Could you imagine the letters? Me neither, but Paris Hilton, yeah, go ahead, don't worry.
And finally, more movie money news.
Money.
Due to the fact that it is still in the theaters, American Sniper is expected to take over Hunger Games Part 3, Part 1 as the highest grossing release of 2014. Hunger Games stands at $336.45 million, while American Sniper has pulled in $322.59 million and counting.
And also, not that it should be used as a promo, but the trial didn't hurt that either.
Right.
That they had the trial, yes. and they just found this guy guilty, and the judge even threw out the insanity plea. So now people who had no interest in that, but this is reality, they want to go see this movie.
Yeah, so the one of the last movies that came out in December, not Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas, is making the highest grossing movie of 2014. Put things in perspective, once again, Guardians of the Galaxy was the previous title holder at $333.18 million, and The Hobbit, we just mentioned, was at $254 million domestically.
Nice.
Wow. Hey, Hassan, I just realized something. It has nothing to do with you saying, Mark, so just, you know, we'll put that on the shelf for a side, take this off the shelf and just say... Son, remember those movies that got the worst movie and stuff like that?
Yeah.
And they were all, you know, upscale movies?
Yeah.
You know, guess what wasn't on the list, which was, to me, amazing. And I loved it that it wasn't on the list. And must have these guys going crazy. Sharknado franchise. Yeah. Could you imagine these guys making these top movies and they're on the worst list, and they're looking like, where's Sharknado? Oh, no, that's a success. Just a thought. All right, carry on, folks.
Well, before we take a break, I just want to make a clarification that the Razzies are only for movies in the theaters. So Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas was actually in the theaters, where Sharknado is not. So they're not eligible for either an Oscar or a Razzie.
Even better.
Like, we're not eligible. Ha, ha, ha.
We're not going to the theater. We're just going to throw this on TV, and we're a bigger success than you.
I can't believe Kirk Cameron is actually still in the lexicon. You know, like, he's still relevant. Like, even
I wouldn't call it relevant if it's...
He got an award. It's not a bad award, but, I mean, look, he's still in the public. We're talking about him.
All right, you know? Fair enough. Yes, fair enough. We are talking about Kirk Cameron. Oh, and by the way, for those of you who don't know Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas, there is a website that rates the movies, Rotten Tomatoes, and it received a 0 on that website, which would be the lowest rating ever given to any movie ever in the history of internet, how bad this movie is.
Wow.
So that will take us to our break.
Was there a boat involved in saving Christmas or whatever?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
Well, they should have been. Okay, never mind.
All right, so now we're ready for our break. We'll be right back with a game from the radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
We'll be right back.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to It Came From Radio,
wow,
the official show
of
the MakeAppleCon. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking, along with our traveling correspondent, Hassan Godwin, and our senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino, both on the phone because we are in Ice Station Zebra while it's snowing outside.
We are actually broadcasting from Ice Station Zebra, which is, you know, which is new for us because it's kind of chilly here.
We've done it before. We've done it before. Yeah.
As I was broadcasting, there was a frozen zebra passing my window. So it's true.
Wait, if it was frozen, how did it pass by your window?
Well, it was sliding because
he was
on his way.
He's on his way to being frozen.
It was just frozen, staying there. But there was a gust of wind and downhill, and you know. But anyway,
Follow-ups, Mark.
Yeah.
What was that soundtrack, though?
That was from the Vixens of Virtue, Vixens of Vice, Season 2, I believe, from Keith Jacks from Third Rail Productions.
That's pretty cool. I thought it was from the Castle of Fu Manchu, the Chinese water torture song.
That's kind of how it felt.
I loved it. I love the technical stuff that Keith does in those things.
So, this week, we're going to be talking about what happened this week, the Winter Film Awards, which is the fourth annual Winter Film Awards. And I was a little tiny, tiny part of it, and so was our very own traveling correspondent, Hassan Godwin. He traveled to the meet and greet.
I was actually seen by human eyes at the place.
It was an independent film festival where they had 75 films of varying lengths. And subject matter. They had shorts, music videos, feature-length films. I managed to interview two people at the meet and greet, which was kind of nice. But before I get to the interviews, I want to mention quickly. I told Hassan I was going to say this, but we were at the meet and greet in the bar, and you know we're chit-chatting with people. And Hassan is just, you know, he found a spot, he planted himself there, and there are some quite attractive ladies sitting next to him. I'm facing him, so it's to his right.
There's really no need for this.
And I was, you know, I was either, I think I was eyeing the food. I was debating if I was going to go get some food.
Yeah, and I'm going to actually talk about the 15 to 20 minute debate it took you to go get a piece of finger food, which was astounding to me, considering all the other machinations that go on in your head, like creating a radio show and interviewing people, and you actually had this much.
I was debating that. Actually, I took pictures there, so they'll be up on the Facebook page probably tomorrow when I get home. So I hear this conversation where Hassan says, the girl speaks to him, and Hassan says, I'm nobody. He runs the radio show, point to me, and then he stops talking. What does she say?
The girl asked me, are you somebody special?
And he's like, I'm nobody.
No, because the conversation already started badly. You know, it's like, are you someone special? Well, yeah, of course, my mom always told me I was special, but I don't know if that's the kind of special you're talking about. And I
Hassan,
was interested.
Hassan, if someone says, are you a god, you say, yes.
He's so nonchalantly like, I'm nobody. And he turned away, and that was the end of the conversation.
Listen, all right. And you know what? That's fair. It's completely fair because that's exactly what happened.
It was
no exaggeration.
It was a meet and greet, and Hassan did not want to meet and or greet.
See, Brian, you see the screen? That's what I was trying to avoid. Because if I decided to lie and say, oh, yeah, I'm Steven Spielberg's personal assistant, about 24 hours later, there would have been a scream like that.
It was not
that I actually live in the Bronx.
It was just entertaining to see Hassan in action.
I don't even physically show up to my radio show. So, yeah, you know, there was really not much to brag about. So, that's
funny.
Me. There you have it. I disappointed Mark. What a surprise.
So I want to do a shout out to fearsmag.com for hooking me up with this. Joe McCurry. We actually have an interview with him on our YouTube page. So thanks, Joe.
Yeah,
but I interviewed
very nice people that we did you know, that I was introduced to and that I did meet. They were some really solid and kind of head in the clouds, feet on the ground kind of people.
Okay, so that's cool. A good explanation. So we met David Ryan Keith, and Lorraine Keith, who are the director and a producer of a movie called The Rosewood Murders. I thought it was Rosewood Massacre. That's odd. That's odd. It's called Rosewood Murders on my paper, but I distinctly remember it was called Rosewood Massacre.
I do believe it's Rosewood. I thought it was Redwood Massacres, but it might be Rosewood.
Oh.
So
they're going to say the name of the movie in the interview, so we'll just play that and see what they say.
Leave it up to them.
Hi, this is Mark Torres. I am in the bar at the Winter Film Awards for the meet and greet, and I actually ran into two cool guys that are right in front of me. They are making the film, The Red Horror Massacre, right?
The Redwood Massacre.
I knew I was going to get it right eventually. So I know this is Dave. Say hi, Dave.
Hi.
And your first name is?
Lorraine. Hi.
So Dave and Lorraine, tell us about the project.
It's a real indie movie in the sense that we had to fund the whole film ourselves. It's a horror film. It kind of goes as a throwback to the old 80s movies, you know, like the old classic American 80s slasher movies. And we kind of made it deliberately so we could sell here in the US and the UK and Germany, I guess, and make some money.
So why is it important to do a throwback to an 80s horror film? Because there's horror films now, but there's still... Why is it there for the 80s time?
Well, for me, a lot of the best movies were made in the 80s, early 90s, and the formula for those movies back then worked, like The Karate Kid and all that kind of stuff. And I think now, when they try and reinvent the movies and they try to change the formula, that's when people are upset. You know, like, so what we tried to do is, even though it's not original, try and give the audience, you know, what they expect to see, but, you know, like, tick the boxes so they get everything, you know, they want from a horror film.
Yeah.
So, Lorraine, I know you work with Dave. How is your relationship with Dave? Do you know him besides work, or is there something else we should know about?
Well, David, he's the director. He's actually my husband. We went to school together. Made a few short films together and then went on to make our feature films, but also got married in between that. So, my husband, we spend 24 hours together every day, 7 days a week, and we're still alive, so you know.
So how is a husband and wife team working together making a movie? How was that like?
Well, our relationship making movies, Lorraine doesn't just produce it, she's also the focus puller, the coordinator, so it's our crew is only a crew of four, so Lorraine's not only looking after the financials, she's actually the person, the focus puller, in charge of keeping them in focus, so it's good because I can just pick, you know, like give her into trouble, then it's our focus.
No, I think it's important, you know, we all have set roles. I am main producer. Like Dave has no interest in organizing a film. He's no interest in producing a film or having any logistical content. All he wants to do is turn up and direct what he wants to direct. I, however, can't help but interfere in, I don't think that looks good, I don't think that looks good. So I think it's a good relationship in the sense of I challenge what he's putting out there. If it doesn't make sense, I'm going to tell him. And you know, we do have a small crew, there's only four of us, and that includes you know, the whole crew, so grip, production.
Plus, when you're editing a movie and your wife is the producer, it's quite interesting.
Okay, so where can people find out about your movie? Is there a website they can look at? Is there some place they can go online to find out about
it? Yeah, well, we just sold to the US, Germany, and the UK. So in the next couple of months, I think the US deal is going to start kicking in through a company called Uncork Entertainment. Germany is just the way it came out in Blu-ray, and we just got the UK deal. So it's going to slowly filter into the VOD and all that kind of crazy stuff.
The release date for the American release date is in May. So you can get cinemas in May. Well, not cinemas, actually. Apologies, that's wrong. But I think they'll do a small theatrical release. I'm not sure where. But they're definitely VOD, and they're definitely DVD.
Alright, so best of luck. That is The Redwood Massacre at the feature film at the Winter Film Awards. Best of luck on winning the category. Hopefully you'll get it and win. Thanks a lot. Once again, Mark Torres signing off for Came From The Radio.
I have to say that music was way louder than it sounds on the interview, because it was right behind us and it was beating like nobody's. That's where you were sitting, Hassan. You remember?
Yes, I remember. but no, we can hear you, so it's good. The recorder is good.
Yes, good job, Charlie. Thank you. Thank you, Charlie.
The background just sounded like the part on Ace Ventura When Nature Calls, when he's leaving the monastery and the monks are all going crazy. That's what it just reminded me of, but carry on.
So I actually managed
to... And it was Redwood, thank you.
Yes, the Redwood Massacre. I actually did see it. I actually saw that on, Thursday? I saw that...
And no,
Friday. I saw it Friday. The trailer is actually online. You go into YouTube and you can look up Redwood Massacre and you can actually see the trailer. I thought it was a good callback to an old-fashioned horror film. What I thought was really interesting was that I really enjoyed the first two acts of the movie. In the third act, I felt that they kind of pumped it up for no reason. Like, they didn't need to put the third act in. Like, it could have ended on the second act, everyone would have been happy, but they decided to add it to it, I guess, to punch it up, to make it more exciting and, you know, what have you. But I thought the first two acts was really good. The people weren't stupid, which is always a nice thing to have.
And stupid people in a horror movie. How did everyone get killed?
I won't ruin it, but they got killed very, very sadly.
they got killed intelligently.
You know, there wasn't any, let's hide behind these, like that Geico commercial, let's hide behind these chainsaws and let's not go into the running car. It was like, all right, well, we're in this situation. Let's keep on moving. Let's try to figure it out. You know, people are missing. We got to, and of course, there was the jerky person. You know, I was like, oh, what do we care about this? Like, well, you know, people are missing. Let's not do something stupid. Let's try to figure this out. And this is the situation we're in, so we need to get out of it. So I think they did a really good job with that. Because it was an independent film, I'm sure it wants to get picked up, as she said it did, they're gonna enhance the sound effects, because the fighting and the slashing sound effects seemed a little off, but I guess that's, like I said, because it's an independent movie, so it's actually not so bad once you put some good sound effects in it. But otherwise, I thought it was a good old decent horror movie to see. So that is
good.
The Redwood Massacre by David Ryan Keith and Lorraine Keith, who are married.
Good use of your time, then.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I also saw a short. It was a music video, which I was like, I have no idea what this is or what's going on in this music video. And
usually, how most people feel during any music video, though, for the most part.
Is that how it is? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on right now.
And where is it? I have it. Oh, yeah, and I saw No Sky Watching Tonight. That was the video, music video. It was a short called Flying Out, which was very well done. It was very stylistic. They were trying to send a message. I don't think they got the message across. But basically, it was some punks kids in Brooklyn who were spray painting a wall, and they had a caged bird. And this little kid saw the caged bird, and he took it, and he ran away. And it was just, the short was them running through Brooklyn. And they were interacting with other people in Brooklyn. But it was more visually impressive than anything. And I think it was really cool. And then I also saw two-thirds of a movie called Sacrificial Youth. It was a very independent film about a guy who may or may not have been Jesus fighting the establishment in a musical format. So it was very weird to see.
Two-thirds of it.
Yeah, because I got there late, but I saw enough of it to know what was going on.
Well, you saw two-thirds on the back end, as opposed to seeing the first two-thirds and walking out.
Yes,
that's,
I saw.
There's a big difference.
Yes, I saw the last two-thirds of the movie.
Okay.
So it was also kind of cool. So it's called Sacrificial Youth. And at the meet and greet, we also met two other guys who directed a film which I didn't get to see. It was a 48-hour film called My Lost Nut.
Wow.
What was that? Wait, what was that?
That's Charlie's ears just perked up. Like, what was going on? My Lost Nut. It was directed by Johan Parashad, and I don't have the guy's last name, which is sad, but his first name was Shivantia, and we have that interview right now.
Hi,
Hi, this is Mark Torsley, came from the radio. I am still at the Winter Film Awards meet and greet. I'm here with Johan and Shivanta, who made My Little Nut part of the 48-hour challenge. So why don't you tell us about the 48-hour challenge?
So Johan, who is also my housemate, my roommate, who lives with me, he comes on a Friday night to shift. Shivanta just entered this film festival, and we need to make a film. So we had basically 2 days to write, shoot, edit, and send off a project. And we were given certain parameters and guidelines. He said we had to say a certain phrase, which was what?
The phrase was, welcome to New York. No.
I'm still in New York.
Thank God I'm still in New York. And then there is, you have to include city bike. So they have city bike. And we had a special thing about including city bike because we have a little dog who's acting in it. And the dog was peeing on the little city bike. So it was kind of fun.
So why don't you tell us about My Little Nut? What's that about?
Okay, so The Little Nut is basically about a story of two friends, two very good, honest brothers, partners in crime, and that is my character and my dog. So the story is about me promising my dog, hey, listen, I'm gonna hang out with you, I'm gonna spend some time with you. And then something comes in and changes that whole dynamic, and there are certain consequences to that. And it's about the path of how I follow, it's about the consequences of actions and what really matters to you at the end of the day, in a very genre-y kind of thing.
So,
with
a big twist. So, how was it making a movie in 2 days?
It was kind of fun, because we didn't have any hierarchy, you know, we didn't follow any step. We just say, okay, let's do that, let's do this, and you know, to shoot with a dog is not an actor. So even if you curse him, he's not gonna understand anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to get some treats, you have to be very kind with him, and he'll understand as long as we give him some treats, you know. And we're gonna turn this into a web series. So like this one, the 48-hour film that we did, it's gonna turn into the first episode. So we're gonna have 4 or 5 more episodes coming up, and it's gonna be a little web series about My Little Nut. And about Shivanta and My Little Nut in, you know, in the city, what they're doing, you know.
Not Johan's Little Nut.
Yeah.
Our Little Nut.
Yeah.
So the question is, where can people find it? Where can they go to see the website? Okay. Where?
So it's available.
Facebook.
It's on Facebook. That's the easiest way to find it. And it is Facebook. And you just look for My, as in M-Y, Little, as in small, L-I-T-T-L-E, space, N-U-T, My Little Nut. That's it. Very simple. It's a very honest story, a very beautiful story. It's a barrel of laughs. I hope you enjoy. Check it out. My Little Nut.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Really appreciate it. Congratulations on being accepted to the awards. And I hope you win your award for the film. This is Mark Torres signing off for Keep It Real.
So, My Little Nut, not My Lost Nut, which...
Oh, I thought you said... I was saying, didn't he say My Lost Nut?
I thought it was Lost.
You are batting a thousand.
I thought that was the sequel to the John and Lorraine Bobbitt story. My Lost Nut, I'm saying, what the hell?
Mark.
Thank you, I'll be here all week.
Mark. You got to get these names right, man. It's not cute anymore, man. That's two in one sitting. Two movies.
Wow.
Well, you know, I'm nobody's friend, so that's how it works.
When you said My Lost Nut, and then you're doing the interview, and the guy who did it says, My Little Nut. I said, he doesn't even know the name of his movie.
No, the weird thing is that I have two sheets of paper. One has the right name, and one has the wrong name.
I used the one with the right name on it.
I realize that now. But I couldn't tell which one. The one with their information had the wrong names, but the other list had the right movie. So I went to the one that had the producer's names on it.
Well done, Mark.
At least I got their names right.
Yeah. Right.
So, yes, it was very, very, very nice. I actually, because of Manhattan, one of my arch enemies, I didn't actually get to see the award ceremony or to see the after party, which I was. No, we don't have time to tell that story of my arch enemy Manhattan beating me down into submission this past week. But I did want to mention quickly, because we got, 5 minutes, 4 minutes? We got 4 minutes left. All right, so I got to mention quickly, next week, Big Apple Con, we're going to be there. It's the 20th anniversary. That's going to be www.nycbm.com. I know that they're going to have a kid special. I think kids under 10, if I'm not mistaken, is a 2-for-1. Go on to the website for details for tickets. If you give them a money order, it's a $16, $15 as opposed to $20 at the door. You can still go online and buy tickets now. The headliners are going to be Jake the Snake Roberts, Power Ranger, Jason Digger Frank, Steve Cardenas, another Power Ranger, Rowdy Piper, the guy who plays the Toxic Avenger, just to name a few. And we're going to be there. We'll be doing interviews. That is the 7th of March. That is 6 days away from today. We're going to be there. I guess we'll have some final thoughts. So, Hassan, you have a final thought for us?
My final thought is, if someone comes to you and says, are you someone special? And you don't feel like you're someone special, tell the truth. That's what my final thought is. Save yourself the agony. Exactly.
Charlie, you have a final thought?
Yes, I do. I want all our friends to come and see us next week. I want them lining up to see us. That's my final thought.
All right, that's a good final thought. I also want to do a quick shout-out to tattoo guys that I met at the Winter Film Awards meet and greet. Luke Berschetti and Paul Booth. Seems that Paul is a very very famous tattoo artist, and he has a waiting list for 3 years for people to get a tattoo from this particular guy. He was such a big name. A guy walked into the meet and greet and was like, hey, you're the tattoo guy. I've been waiting to I'm on the list to get a tattoo. And I was like, wow, that was so random that, you know, he's like, hey, I'm important, I'm famous. And then some random guy, as if it was staged, comes in and is like, hey, you're important. So that was kind of nice.
Hey, they have somebody?
Yes, they have a gallery out in Manhattan. And you can go to www.lastrights.tv and you can check out their stuff. That was really cool, guys. It was Paul Booth is the tattoo artist, and Luke Berschetti was his assistant. So that about does it for this week. On
hey,
a
I want to thank Brian.
Oh, yes. Tell Brian quickly. Go ahead.
Hey, Brian, thanks for ushering us in for another experimental success.
You're most welcome. Had fun.
So that about does it for this week on the Came From the Radio. Join us right here and every week on WGBB. If you miss any part of this show, you can go to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com. Listen to our archives. Will be up in a week or so. And, of course, you can hear us on iHeartRadio as well. We'll see you Saturday at the Big Apple Con, Manhattan, right across the street from Madison Square Garden. And then we'll see you here on the show next week.
Do it.
Thank you.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.